Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Bayer, and this is my brother, Jonah.
We're two siblings who love to talk about our childhood and nostalgia and how it shaped us into the people we are today.
Who can't wait to dive purse first into today's episode, if I do say so myself.
Welcome to How Did We Get Weird?
Now, Jonah, I was thinking about, you know, the Jewish holidays of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are coming up. And I was thinking about how we used to always go to our Grandma Marge's house around that holiday time and just honestly have a blast.
Yeah, I remember Grandma Marge lived at the same place pretty much the whole time we knew her. So like our whole lives.
Yes.
And it was in a big apartment complex, and you walked in and she had these mirrored closets. So it felt huge.
Enormous. Especially when we were little.
Yes. And a lot of like art up on sort of pedestals. It felt very fancy to me.
Very fancy. There was a sculpture of Mercury, which I think was our grandpa Jerome had bought that. And one time I did a report in middle school on the element Mercury, and I took a picture with the statue of Mercury.
Wow.
And I thought that was really great.
Yeah. So we would basically go over there, I feel like, for Jewish holidays. You're right.
Yes.
So Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and there would be our cousins would be there. And that was sort of like the main hangout time there.
Yeah. We would have a lot of fun. We would eat a huge meal. Our grandma would bring out her matzo ball soup, which we thought was the best matzo ball soup ever. It's also, we've talked about this on here before, where our Uncle Richard coined the term of something going right through him when he was talking about frozen yogurt, we think, or diet ice cream and how it goes right through him. And then I kind of figured out what that was and that that was a phrase. It's pretty disgusting. And oh, the other thing that we were going to talk about was that our grandma would say a prayer and we would all have to be quiet for it. And she would say the prayer to herself and then she would go around the table looking at each one of us, making eye contact with each one of us. And that really made us want to start laughing.
Yeah,
it was very sweet, but also very hard to not get the giggles.
As a kid, it's tough to have a serious moment. Yeah. So I think it was mostly just trying not to laugh that whole time.
Yeah. Thinking of a serious moment that is tough to have because it's having so much fun. Should we introduce our guest for today?
Yeah.
Am I the tough moment?
No, it's tough to have a serious moment because we're so excited to have fun with you.
Well, don't you worry. I can ruin anything.
Well, with that incredible endorsement, well, We'll get to your intro. Our guest today is a comedian, actor, activist, musician, and drag queen who you may know from guest starring on some of your favorite shows like A Black Lady Sketch Show or High Maintenance. But you've also got to know him as the winner of season 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race and his HBO Max show, We're Here, or his podcast, Sibling Rivalry. We are so thrilled to welcome Bob the Drag Queen.
Hey, how are you all? Thank you to the Bayers for having me over. I like the name Bayer, too.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I think that before Vanessa entered my brain and now Jonah, it was mostly the drug.
Yes. Yes. Totally.
Are you of the Bayers? Do you get asked that a lot?
Well, a joke that we like to make, or at least I like to make, is whenever anyone asks me, I go, if I was, I wouldn't be here right now.
Yep. You know, I see that. I can see that being a...
Do you know what I mean?
But now it doesn't work because you're going to be like at the Oscars. Like, if I was...
Well, right. Since I've become like sort of a public figure, it's less powerful of a, you know. When I was like an improviser in Chicago, it really hit hard.
When you roll up in like a, you know, a Maserati, you're like, if I was, would I be in this Maserati?
Right.
Like, probably, but I will say there is a difference between the money and big pharma.
Oh.
And comedy.
Yes.
I think that, yeah, we would live in just enormous. I mean, I actually met someone, God, where? I don't even
you
know.
You met a pharmacist or something, right?
Who? Yeah, I met a pharmacist or someone who like knew the Bayer family and said, told me I kind of look like them. And I was like, what? And I don't, and we're Jewish and I don't think they're Jewish, but also you never know. You know what I mean? And someone told me they have a big town in Germany and that they were like, you should go there. They'll treat you like, you know, you're one of the family.
Zabeas. Un Zabeas.
Yes. So I actually do think that you're hitting on something important, which is we don't think we're part of the family, but what you do we
might,
know?
Yeah, you might be. You never know.
You might be.
It might be sort of like that movie with Anne Hathaway where she finds out she's a princess. The Princess Diaries.
The Princess Diaries. That movie where she was like writing in a diary about how she's a princess. What's it called? She was like writing in a diary about being a princess. Princess Diaries.
Princess in it, and she's writing in a diary. What's the?
But I can't name. For the life of me can I think of the name of this?
Can't remember.
Oh, anyway. the journaling royal girl. That was the one of the girl. You two kind of look alike too. I mean, the hair is displaced because one is on top of the head, and one's on the face.
Right.
And by the way, I am also bald. That is not a dig at Jonah. I am also one of the bald head baddies.
No, I get it.
Bald headed baddies. Yeah, we look alike, and I wonder if so. Which, to your point, this pharmacist or whoever would have probably said to Jonah too, "You look like you're part of that family."
The Bayers,
and it's like, yeah. Go claim your fortune, kind of a thing.
Jonah, do you also have the, because Vanessa, you have a pretty iconic smile. I feel like if I saw just your smile,
so nice.
If I saw just this part of your face, I'd be like, oh, that's Vanessa Bayer. You're kind of known for your smile, do you think?
I think so. I think because I smile a lot. It's hard for me to stop.
What's that like? Can you describe smiling and happiness to me in great detail?
I mean, you've got a beautiful smile. What are you talking about?
No, I didn't say my smile's not beautiful. It's just not instantly recognizable. Your smile is like instantly recognizable.
But also you were implying that I'm a much happier, like, cheerier person.
That I was,
and I don't think that's true because I feel like you are kind of a comedy icon. Like,
oh, I'll take it.
I was just rewatching some of your Drag Race stuff and I think you're just so funny. Obviously.
Well, thank you.
I mean, opening up for Madonna, ever heard of it?
Right. You know, it's so funny because I ended up in the world of like feel good TV with reality TV with We're Here and RuPaul's Drag Race. But I'm actually a stand-up comedian. I've been doing stand-up for about 15 years now.
Wow.
And then I kind of just tripped and fell into reality TV. Which Drag Race is pretty camp, whilst We're Here is not camp at all. It's extremely that's not true. It is camp. It's not a hilarious show. Like, it's going to leave you boo-hooing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because, and I guess I knew that about you, but I wasn't putting it together that you're a stand-up too. It makes sense because you could even tell when you were on Drag Race, like, you can tell when people are comedians. Like, you're just so funny, but also you have a real, I'm really impressed with you on We're Here because
thank you
have to really, I mean, I was just, I've seen a lot of it, but I was just watching the episode. I think it's in Mississippi, where Jackson. you have to really get in with people and have some really emotional talks with them. And I think a lot of the funniest people kind of have that. I'm not trying to compliment myself, okay? But I think a lot of the funniest people.
So what I'm basically
people,
saying is, yes,
I could
my
be
smile
one of them.
Is
I don't
beautiful.
Know. It doesn't matter. You have such empathy for everybody, and you really understand what they're going through, and are able to actually say things that are helpful in a way that's really so impressive. And to someone who doesn't understand that sometimes comedy people kind of do that. It's like really impressive that you're so funny and yet also so thoughtful and empathetic with these people.
Well, I mean, thank you for starters. And I feel like a lot of times nowadays, I don't want to sound like one of these people. Here's your problem with comedy today. I hate to be one of those. But I think that a lot of comedians, not just today, for a long time, are kind of edgelords. They're like, I'm just saying what nobody's thinking. And
it's like,
well, I have intrusive thoughts. I thought about pushing three people on the train today. Just because I'm not saying, just because you're saying what I'm thinking doesn't make it funny. It's just that those are my thoughts. And, you know, I think that sometimes in stand-up comedy, people end up just going for noise from the audience. You know what I mean?
Right.
Instead of laughter. Like the thing about stand-up is you want a specific noise, like when a comedian's kind of bum and they go, give it up for this beautiful club. And everyone's like, woo!
When I've done stand-up, I do that. That's a trick I would use all the time. Give it up for the host. Give it up for the venue. Just getting as many claps as you can get.
Yeah, because you just want noise. Or they'll say a joke that's just so out of pocket. Mm-hmm. The crowd goes, ooh. And for them, they're like, well, I got a noise.
Yeah.
I got a noise. Yeah. And then they always go, oh, is that too much for you? And everyone's like, it's just that we're eating chicken tenders and we weren't expecting like jokes about slavery. So it kind of took us for a turn. So I don't know if it's too much. And I don't know that the juice was worth the squeeze for that particular joke.
Right.
I don't even know how I got on. I go on tangents.
No, it's good. It's good. We're talking. I mean, who were some of the comedians you were kind of into growing up? Like, who were your big as a kid?
I love some more. I love Monique. I love Chris Rock. I love D.L. Hughley. I love Cedric the Entertainer. Oh my God, I love Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
I love Wanda Sykes.
Yes. So funny.
They're just so funny. I mean, I think Chris Rock and Wanda Sykes were probably my two favorite comedians growing up. But then, of course, in terms of acting, it'd be like Whoopi Goldberg, mm-hmm. Carol Channing, Bernadette Peters, people like that. Kathy and Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah. Love her.
And David Alan Greer and the Wayans. All of the Wayans.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you watch a lot of like In Living Color and that kind of like, did you watch a lot of?
Oh, yeah.
The like comedy when you were growing up?
Absolutely. It was very, I mean, the Wayans were really a big part of my childhood into my teenage years with the Wayans Brothers show.
Yeah.
And Learning Dirty Shame and the scary movies. And, you know, there's so many of the things they were doing that were just so like formative to me as a humorist, as a young humorist, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love them. Loved Living Color. Loved Homie the Clown.
Yeah,
we did too. Jim Carrey as Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any thoughts on a movie that that we haven't talked about in this podcast before, but stars, I believe, Damon Wayans, The Last Boy Scout?
I've not seen this movie. I was afraid that you were going to say a movie I hadn't seen, and my worst fear came true.
No. It's not a big deal.
Someone ask you about a movie, and then you think to yourself, do I act like I saw it?
100%.
Or do I tell the truth?
And in real life, in conversation, I got to say this, I'm coming clean. 50% of the time, I pretend that I know what they're talking. Because if I think it's going to pass quickly enough, I just go, oh yeah, it's so good. You know, I don't
do you, have... Do you ever do something where someone says something, you don't even hear what they said, you don't know if it's a movie or a book, and you're just like, oh yeah, uh-huh. Because you just want to move past it? Because you don't care?
I don't. I'm the worst. I will harp on things until the end of time. Because I don't want to end in a situation where Vanessa's like, oh yeah, love that movie. And then that becomes the crux of you and that person's friendship. And they're like, I've never met anyone else who loved the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Billy Bob Goat Girl. I didn't know nobody's even heard about it. And now I found the DVD. So Vanessa, you're gonna come over and watch Billy Bob Goat Girl. You watch it now, you hate this movie. And at random times during the day, the person will turn to you and go, and as they say, nay, boop, bop. And you're like, what? And they're like, it's from Billy Bob Goat Girl.
This
and you're
is like, a yes, very extreme yes, version is. Of how this could go wrong if you pretend. But I hear you. But
yeah,
also,
I hear you.
I do a version of that that's almost worse, which is I'll pretend, like you said, Jonah, that I hear them. And then because I kind of tend to obsess over things sometimes, 30 seconds in the conversation, I'll go, wait, what did you say? What are you talking about? And then it's the worst version of it because now the pretending you did to kind of put the other person, you know, at ease and make them feel like, oh yeah, whatever. Now they know that I've been lying to them for 30 seconds. Mm. But I'm putting myself first and my obsessiveness first and saying, now I really have to know what you're talking about.
I did this TikTok live and this guy was like, he goes, we were arguing about something. It was like a TikTok debate. And he goes, how do you feel about the war in Rwanda or something like that? Okay. He didn't say Rwanda. He said some like African country. He said, do you care about the war in Rwanda? And I just said, yeah. And he goes, there is no war in Rwanda.
Oh.
What I was saying was, if there is a war, then yeah, I care.
Sure.
But I wasn't like, I am well versed in the war in Rwanda. And I was like, oh, but instead of saying, if there is a war going on, then I care about that. All I said was, yeah.
Well, first of all, that person sucks. They were trapping you.
They're trying to get me. Yeah, got that ass.
But also, it would be so crazy for you to be like, no. So there's almost no way. You'd have to know about everything in the world to be like, oh, that doesn't exist. Like, by the way, whatever place that person said, there probably was some kind of a war there.
Well, that'd be like being like, do you care that my mom beat me? And I go, yeah. And I go, of course I care. Yeah, my mom never beat me. And I'm like, well,
guess what? Honestly,
maybe she should have. Now it's not too late
in your adulthood
for your mom to come give you a left hook right to the cheek.
Yes. I don't know what this person's profile is. And in terms of, you know, but I don't ever want them coming on this podcast.
Whoa.
Because I hate them.
You're banned. Whoever you were, you just know that you're banned. Wait, so do you two live in the same town?
No, we used to. We used to both be in New York. When I was on SNL, Jonah lived in Brooklyn and he would come to SNL shows, you know, I'm calling it every other week.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. But now Vanessa's in LA. I'm in Western Mass in like the Berkshires.
Okay. Well, you know, my best friend Monet is really close friends with...
Love Monet.
Oh my God. I can't think of her name right now. In this moment, I can't think of her name. Not Monet. Monet's like really good. What is her name? She's from SNL. Brown hair.
Cecily?
Cecily Strong.
Monet is best friends with Cecily?
No, not best friend. Monet's my best friend. And Monet and Cecily are friends.
Are friends. Okay.
So now,
well, now I'm your best friend.
So now I need to one-up Monet and you and I need to be friends.
Yes, that's right. That's right. I'm in.
Are you and Cecily Strong? I mean, close?
We're friends. I mean, I haven't spoken to her a ton since we've both not been on the show, but...
Are you guys fighting?
We're in the middle of kind of a feud, so it's kind of weird that you bring that up right now because I just texted her...
Vanessa's always talking about this feud.
Yeah, and now I'm going to text her after this and say, wow, just became friends with Bob the drag queen. Have fun with Monet, you bitch. That's what I'm going to text her.
So we are the antithesis to Monet and Cecily. It's me and Vanessa.
Yes.
And then Monet and Cecily.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was trying to work in like a cool thing to show you like what a fan I was going to say. They're going to need all those sponges to wipe up the,
to soak up their they're going to schmigga their dunes all over those sponges.
Yeah. Maybe use those. Maybe they're going to have to schmigadoon those sponges to clean up what big losers they are. Sorry, I started a fight between me and Cecily and you and Monet. I know that might make things awkward.
We're
going to
use our purses and love yeah. that for ourselves.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
the most antagonistic I've ever seen Vanessa on this podcast. So
I have that effect on people. I bring out the worst in everyone. I really do. I really, really do.
Well,
you, I feel like I've derailed you all.
Not at all. This is so fun. Look, everyone needs to know what an absolute mega bitch face I am.
Yeah. And you know, and on that note, let's take our first break.
I was just going to say that. Perfect.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Jonah, what were you going to say before?
Before we went to that commercial break.
Perfect
yeah,
segue into a
that
commercial
perfect
break.
Segue. I was curious about how you two feel about asking people about their names. That's one that I struggle with a lot. Someone introduces himself, I'm not paying attention.
Baby.
Yeah.
That is where this is what I do. I meet someone and I'll say, what's your name? And like the second time I'll be like, what's your name again? And I'll be like, I will keep asking that. I want to remember, but I'm never going to lie to you. But then there comes a day around like the third time where I just, big guy, girl.
Yeah, there's a point where you can't ask anymore. And that's where when you're really stuck.
When I was in high school, this girl who's, I can't remember her name, obviously, but let's call her Vanessa. Okay. So Vanessa, I looked at her and said, can I borrow your book? She gave me her Spanish book. I took the book and I used it for Spanish class. And then she shared a book and then I gave the book back to her and I wanted to thank her, but I forgot her name. So I looked in the front of the book and I saw the name and I was like, thanks, Jonah. and she was like, excuse me? I was like, thank you, Jonah. She's like, why did you call me Jonah? I was like, your name's Jonah. And she's like, why would you think my name is Jonah? I was like, that's the name written in the front of your book. And she was like, I'm borrowing Jonah's book. My name is Vanessa.
My God.
And I was like, I have been caught. I have been caught red-handed. She got me guilty, covered in blood.
Is she related to this TikTok Live guy? Because they got the same kind of vibe. Like, you know, trying to call you out.
Yeah. I mean, giving you a book that has a different person's name in it when you don't know her well.
Yeah, and
you're
trying to thank them. You're not calling them out. You're just trying to say thank you. It's like,
in her defense, I've been sitting next to her the entire school year.
Okay. So a little context. I get that.
But you know, I've been on the other side of that. And I don't know if this makes us more on your side or on this person's side, but I used to work at this ad agency, and this one guy, I think I've told this story on here before, this one guy who worked there called me Jessica, okay? He called me Jessica once or twice, and I just thought, he's not in the same, like, department as me. I'm never going to see this guy again. And so then it became like I had been there maybe like 6 months or so, and every time I would maybe see him once every few weeks, he'd say, hi, Jessica, and I'd be like, Then this one fateful day, I was in an elevator with him and these two women that I work with that I knew very well. And they go, and I got in the elevator and they're like, hey, Vanessa. And he was in the elevator. And it was just this moment of, at this point, it's on me. Like, he shouldn't even be embarrassed. I'm the one who let him call me Jessica for 6 months.
Yeah.
And it was one of the most uncomfortable elevator. I think it's the most uncomfortable elevator ride I've ever been in.
Did you guys ever reconcile this or say anything about it?
No, it was just sort of understood. I honestly don't remember any time after that him calling me Vanessa, and that might be because he completely avoided me or something for the rest of the... I think I was there like a year and a half. It was so awkward, and I could have stopped it at any time, but it's like once you let it go a few times... Then it becomes so hard.
It's too late. Yeah. It's too fucking late. And I feel that way too. Like whenever I, you know, another question I hate this question. It's such a shady question.
Yeah.
When someone goes, do you remember me?
Oh, that's one.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
Seriously. That is the most... I hate that so much.
Like, I don't want a pop quiz in the middle of whatever. We're like, first of all, we just ran into each other at CVS. You think I want a pop quiz? Do you remember me? And they always take a step back.
Yeah.
And they say her name. Do you remember me? Vanessa, Jonah, you have a podcast, How We Got Weird. Do you remember me?
Jonah,
you live in the Berkshires. Do you remember me?
I hate that so much.
That's
so
tough.
It would be so easy for that person to say, like, do you remember me? Like, hi, do you remember me? I'm Suzanne. We were in puppet class together or whatever.
Or like, just, oh, hey, Vanessa, it's me, Suzanne from puppet class. How are you? You don't even have to ask, remember.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Suzanne from puppet class. Do you remember me? No, you don't even have to say remember me. Just say, how are you?
Yeah, it's me, Suzanne from puppet class. Or even if you want to be extra, whatever, you go, it's me, Suzanne from puppet class. You might not remember, but it's so nice to see. Just like give the other person the benefit of the doubt instead of setting them up for failure.
My response is usually no, and I don't feel bad about it. because it lets them know you cannot weaponize this against me. I say no, and I don't feel bad about it.
What about this? So you say nice to meet you to someone, they go, actually, we've met before.
Oh my, I hate, like, they are actually... We've met before. And I'm like, you're a monster. You're a bad person. You're a monster. A pox on your house. Truly.
Yeah. Because I've noticed some people will say, I think especially kind of celebrity I've noticed, will say, nice to see you. Like, they won't even say nice to meet you. They'll say nice to see you to everyone. And I think that sort of cover those situations.
You're saying a celebrity will say that to people?
I think just people who, or maybe people who don't remember meeting people.
Yeah.
I know some people I met for the first time and they're like, nice to see you. And I think that's just their line, so they can't get called out, which is good.
But it's like, why should they even have to do that?
True. That's tough, yeah.
Oh, I hate...
People trying to catch you or trick you or get you, like, back you into a corner, especially in the Rite Aid. This is too much. I'm trying to buy a bag of, you know, cheddar jalapeno Cheetos. Please release
me. Also, we're not in puppet class. It would be one thing if you were in puppet class with that person. And they were like, hey, and you're like, oh, yeah, I know this person from... But to see... When you see people out of context in different places...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so... Yeah, actually, we've
Vanessa,
met before.
You don't remember me? I was in the puppet... By the way, I have lost 130 pounds. I've dyed my hair.
Yeah.
And I've changed my entire style of dress. It's also, oh, by the way, Vanessa, it has been 15 years. But the question remains, do you fucking remember me? Put down those goddamn Cheetos. They take out their phone. They start filming you. Answer the fucking question.
Oh, my God. That's the nightmare scenario. Has that ever happened to you?
No. I take everything to the extreme, to the most ridiculous.
I know. You're thinking, that's what my therapist says to do, is like to think through to the end of, like, how, if you're stressed about something, like, what's the worst that could happen?
Because normally, you're more stressed about the idea of what could happen than the reality of if it actually happened.
Well, truth is, my negative trait is that instead of de-escalating, I immediately escalate. Like, I don't feel bad about it. That's just escalating. I could just be like, no, but instead I'm like, no, and fuck you. You're gonna fuck me, bitch. I'm gonna fuck you right here in the fucking next to the ice cream. You think you got me, bitch? I got you, bitch. It does feel good, though.
I can't say that that's what I do, but wouldn't that be so cool if I could?
Can you say no? Can you just say no and I don't feel bad about it? Because it just sounds like something you wouldn't say. Can I hear you say it?
Yeah.
Let's role play it.
Okay.
Vanessa?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How are you? It's so good to see you.
Oh.
Wait, you don't remember. Do you remember me?
No, and I don't feel bad about it. For our listeners, Bob is losing his mind laughing.
I'm trying to visualize being in the same aisle and being like, I just saw Vanessa Bayer shut some puppeteer bitch down. This is dumb bitch with puppets. And Vanessa just creamed her. And I'd be like, Vanessa Bayer? I'm like, yes, I'm telling you. The one who's always awkward, Vanessa Bayer, just, and she did the smile, and then she just smiled at her, and the lady melted into the earth. It was crazy. That's more of a Jennifer Lewis move than a Vanessa Bayer move.
It's way more of a, my impression of Jennifer Lewis, which she's helped me with, is her going, oh no, bitch. And her impression of me, which I don't know, we have got to get her on this podcast too. Her impression of me is like, she goes like, she kind of hunches over and she goes Jesus. Like, because she thinks that I, for the audience, I'm lifting my hands in sort of a weird kind of weak gesture. She thinks like I like sort of weak hands, and she kind of slopes over and she kind of goes,
that's so funny.
Feels more like a roast a little bit.
She roasts. Now I want to just go back and say one more thing about what Jonah was saying about when people say we've met before.
Mm-hmm. Actually,
we've met before.
I love Bitchy Vanessa. It's so funny. It's an iconic alter ego for you.
Wait, what was the line that you say?
No, and I don't feel bad about it.
Okay, I'm going to say it in that voice now. Okay. Will you ask me again?
Oh my God. Vanessa. Are you Vanessa Bayer, right?
Yeah.
That is so crazy. Oh my God. You don't remember me, do you?
No, and I don't feel bad about it. That's how I should say it, I guess.
I don't know. It had way more sting the first one.
You're right. It felt like I was in character this time.
but the first time you said it, it had the sting of 1,000. It was vicious.
Yeah,
but
it was more. Okay. Now, I just want to say.
We're workshopping.
I want to say this. People have said to me so many times, it's so nice to meet you. And I know that I've met them before. And I just, because I know it will make the person feel bad and it will turn it into like a thing, I just pretend that we're meeting for the first time. And the fact that people don't have the wherewithal to do that and to know, like, just leave things alone. Where do you fall on this? I'm very curious where you fall on this.
Well, also, I feel like when they say it's nice to meet you, that does not necessarily have to mean this is my first. It is nice to now know that you're like, I say I'm going to meet a friend. I'm not going to meet them for the first time ever. So just say it was nice to meet this moment.
Yeah, you're right. Now, where do you fall on? Now, I want to ask you another question for both of you. Let's say, for example, and because of the SAG strike, I'm going to bring up something that's not currently on. Like, let's say someone says to you, oh my God, Independence Day. I don't know why that movie came to my mind. Oh my God, Independence Day is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. And let's say you really like it.
Got it.
Now, I want you to know that it's in passing, though. How can I?
So, okay. So yeah. I might have a scenario like this. I have a dear friend of mine. She's a drag queen. And her name is Sutton Lee Seymour. Like Sutton Lee Seymour from the musical.
Okay. Okay, great.
And we both love Chicago. We both, every gay loves Chicago.
Okay. Okay, great.
For some weird reason, she thinks Renee Zellweger did a bad job in the movie, which is an insane opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
It's to the point where, like, she did this whole bit in her show about how Chicago is the perfect movie except Renee Zellweger. And it's to the point where she's making these jokes and I can't even laugh. Even if the joke itself is funny, I'm like, the premise is so off.
Right.
But also not ironically off. It'd be like if someone made, like, if someone makes a joke about how Soulja Boy's a bad rapper, you can laugh at it. But if someone's like, you know how Jay-Z's a horrible rapper, we're like, I'm sorry, wait, I can't get past the fact that you think Jay-Z's a bad rapper in order to laugh at any jokes about that you're making about him being a bad rapper. I don't know if that scenario correlates to this. The first time she did in her show, I did come to after the show and I was like, Renee Zellweger was brilliant in Chicago. Everyone in the cast, Queen Latifah, Richard Gere, Catherine Zeta-Jones, everyone, even Lucy Liu's like short cameo, everyone in this movie was amazing.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, Renee Zellweger was bad. And I was like, I know these are all opinions and they can't be categorically false and true, but this just feels categorically false and I cannot.
You can't. Yeah. Let me ask you this. If you were in a group of people, okay, and let's say someone like Cecily, who you're not as good of friends with, but is friends with Monet,
mm-hmm.
You're in a group of people and off the cuff, Cecily just says, like, I don't think Renee Zellweger was very good in Chicago. I'm not saying she feels that way. I don't want to misrepresent her. Let's say she said that, okay? And you don't know her well. She's a friend of your friends. You know what I mean? Then would you just let it slide or would you go, actually, excuse me?
Okay, so where are we? This all matters. Are we at someone's house? Is it a house party?
You're in someone's backyard at like a house party.
Yeah.
And is it her backyard or is it Monet's
backyard?
It's
like a daytime. It's a house party, but it's like
a neutral
daytime
house party. Neither is no one's house.
It's sort of like casual food, like sort of like maybe there's like someone's grilling some stuff, but it's sort of like an afternoon party. Come over, gotcha. Like see we just redid the backyard. Come nice. See, you know, see what you think, you know, maybe it's a pool party.
I would say.
Everyone goes in the pool. I mean, I'm not going in that pool.
Yeah, I'm not going in the pool. I would go, I thought she was really good. I would say it like that, but I wouldn't like part the seas and be like,
right.
The fuck did you just say?
Yeah.
I would go, I thought she was really good. I thought everyone in that movie was just, it's one of my favorite movies. It was just so perfectly cast.
Yeah. Okay.
I was at a party with Charlize Theron because the guy who created the show We're Here is her lawyer. And we were just hanging out. And then Charlize pointed at a group of women and she said, I remember thinking to myself, like, I literally said to my boyfriend, this feels like a situation that Vanessa Bayer's character would get caught in on. She pointed at a group of women and she said, that's my mom. I said, that's your mom? She goes, yeah. I said, her. And she goes, yeah. I said, how is that possible? This woman literally looks like your sister. And she was like, what? I said, this woman could be your sister. This is crazy. And then she goes, yeah, that's my mom. Then she calls the women over. Then a different woman who is clearly her mom comes forward. And then she goes, Bob? Before her mom came over, she goes, that's not good. I said, what do you mean? She goes, that's good for her, not good for me. And I said, no. And she looks so young. So then the women come over, and then a woman who is obviously her mom comes over, and then she goes, "Mom, Bob thinks that you look the same age as me." But I couldn't be like, no.
There's no way out of it because you've already insulted her. And now you don't want to insult her mom.
Yeah, so I can't just go, no, you definitely look. So I just go, yep. Now her mom is flaunting in her face. She's like, yeah, Charlize, I could be your sister. And I was like, and so now I look like someone who gives disingenuous compliments. I look like a person who goes, what are you, sisters? I look like that asshole. But I'm not, that's not who I am. But I look like the person who says, what are you, twins? So then later on, I find Charlize and I go, I just want you to know, I thought you were pointing at that woman. And Charlize goes, oh no, we are the same age. That's my friend so-and-so, we're the same age. And I said, no, I did not think that I thought you were pointing at a different woman. So then Charlize, elated, calls her mother over to let her know.
Oh, no.
And it's because her mother was gloating about how she was so, like, she's like, yes, Charlize, we're the same age looking, honey. And then Charlize was like, whatever. So then as Charlize is calling her mother over to gloat that I had mistaken her for a younger woman, I just left the party.
That's what I was going to say. I would just run away.
I immediately left the party. Immediately. I was like, I'm leaving.
It's the only... Because you kind of were in an impossible situation in that...
Yes.
Well, I'm sure that when she first told you, that's my mom, and you thought this younger woman was who she was talking about, you were probably so emphatic about it. Like, you were probably not being like, no, you guys look the same age. Like, you could be a sister. You were probably like, oh my God, that's insane. You look at, like, I'm sure you were so convincing. And so there's no way to get out of it except to, well, I would have done the exact same thing. I would have found a moment where she was away from her mom and said, just so you know, like, so you're not insulted. But yeah, of course you would want. That's tough.
It would literally be like if you're at a party and you pointed at Cecily Strong and was like, that's my mom. Someone's like, what? And you're like, I know. Crazy. And I was like, no, that's your mother? And I was like, your mom. Like, this woman gave birth to you or raised you or something. Like, she was an adult when you were a child.
Oh my gosh.
And she was like, yeah.
That is so funny. There's nothing you could do. I mean, Jonah, you did this when you got caught using a fake ID at Borders bookstore. You just left. That's what you
did.
Why
were you using a fake ID at Borders? What is happening at Borders?
I had a little bit of a scam going where I was buying these books at Walden Books on sale and then returning them to Borders to get store credit to buy CDs with. So I'd spend like $20 on books at Walden Books on sale.
And like then
I
get these sale books. Yeah.
And then I
Grand
get like
larceny at Borders.
And so I was using a fake ID because I had one from this guy I went to college with. And
which,
I would use it
by
to...
By the way, you probably didn't even need an ID to do this.
No, you needed
ID.
You did need an ID. And I got nervous that Borders Corporate was keeping track of all these transactions and was going to catch on. So I used this fake ID, but the woman working at Borders was my friend Matt's older sister. And so... I had this idea this guy, Paul, and I had it out and I was doing this transaction. She came over and she goes, oh, hey, Jonah. And then the guy was like, is your name Jonah or Paul? And they were both looking at me and I was trying to return all these weird books. And then I was just like, hold on, I forgot something in my car. And I just left. And then my friend called me that night. He's like, yeah, my sister said you came into Borders. You were returning all these books with a fake ID. And then she asked you about it. And you just left. I was like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird, right? I was like a teenager. I just kind of, my brain couldn't compute what to do. So I was like, I guess I should just like leave.
I would have been like, yeah, but my real name is Paul. But everyone calls me John, but my real name is Paul.
The ID, this person looked nothing like me.
Also, there was little to no effort going in.
It was such a weird... I probably didn't have to use the ID. It was an extra step of security, but it's actually what sunk me.
There it is.
When Charlize called her mom over, did you go, hold on, I have to go to my car?
Well, so what happened was... Okay, so the first time she called her over, this group of women and then this one woman emerged who was her mother, a credible mother. But the second time when she calls her mom over, she's like,
yes.
She's like kind of doing one of these. Like, she's like looking around like, mom. And then she finally got her mom. And I was like, I'm leaving. And I made it clear that I was leaving because I didn't want to face her mother.
Of course. Of course.
I was like, I'm leaving. I am leaving. Jacob, my boyfriend, Jacob, let's go. We need to go.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story. I'm
I don't know why. Because it felt like a Vanessa Bayer moment. So at this party, I'm really bad with faces and names, especially famous white women with brown hair.
Yeah. I think
Charlize is blonde. I know Charlize, but there were these people at the party and I would introduce myself to them, but I think they thought I was trying to play it cool. Cause I'd be like, what's your name? And she'd be like, January Jones. And I'm like, oh, also, but she didn't say it like that. She said January. I want to be clear. She didn't go, no, and I don't feel bad about it. But she said, she goes, my name is January. Cause I had never heard of January Jones. And yeah. I was like, I've never met anyone named January before. Like, and then I said, how do you know Charlize? So I think it looked like I was this like unfamous person being like, I don't know who you guys are. But some of them, I didn't know who they were. But it's not a testament to them not being famous. It's a testament to me not knowing every famous person. So I felt really silly for me to go to like three or four famous people and be like, and what do you do?
Well, and to their credit, they didn't go.
Oh, they could have went bananas on me. They could have been like, they could have given me the famous version of actually we've already met.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Or they could have given you a twist on no, and I don't care. Or yeah. they could have gone, I'm famous. And you should be absolutely, you know.
They offered me a lot of grace. January Jones and the guy who plays Beast in X-Men offered me a lot of grace when I was like, because I was talking to his girlfriend, who's also an actor, or his wife, who's also an actor, and then he was introduced as her husband. And I was like, oh, so what do you guys do? And everywhere I'm like, well, who are you? What do you do? Because I always say, hey, my name is Bob. I have a show on HBO. Just so people don't feel the awkwardness of having to like be like, and you should know who I am.
Yeah,
you know
what exactly. I mean? But this is good because it makes you look, like you said, it makes you look pretty cool. Like you're not starstruck. You're not, you know, you're just like, oh, hey, we're regular people.
But I hope they don't think I was trying to play it cool.
No, they don't. And they probably don't.
They probably appreciated it to be totally honest.
They probably appreciated to be, but also can I ask you, this made me think of one other thing. So I don't know. I guess I'm sure you've done other things like this where you could go back. But like I'm thinking if you had like some kind of a like Drag Race reunion or something like that. And I'll what I'm saying is I went to a SNL party mm-hmm. at the beginning of this most current season because I happened to be in town for this other thing. I was in New York. I ended up going to the SNL after party. Mm-hmm. And I had not seen that season of SNL yet, really. And I certainly didn't know who any, you know, I used to know who all the writers, all the crew, everybody was. And I didn't know that.
Were you on with Sashir?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Sashir and I left at the same time, actually.
Right. Yeah.
So I was at this party and I wanted to congratulate everyone on a great show. And I, even though I hadn't seen the show because I just came to the party, but I'm sure it was a great show. And I started saying congratulations to this group of people. And I knew that at least one or two of them were writers on the show. But so I just looked around a circle of people and I said, congrats, your sketches were so good. And what a show. And I know for a fact that I now know in retrospect that like one of the people I was talking to, like I was congratulating his girlfriend almost, he was a writer. I was congratulating his girlfriend almost more than him. And I was just saying to everyone in this circle of people, cause I was like, this has got to be at least 50%. Okay. Success rate.
You know, a cater waiter was like, Vanessa Bayer congratulated yes. me on my sketches.
And I go, and you
I
did,
bought a lobster biscuit.
You did. So good. And just looking around, because again, very talent. I know that whoever did write it is very talented. I just haven't been there for a long time. It's weird to be, that's kind of how I feel like whenever I go to Chicago too now. Like I used to do comedy in Chicago. That's where it kind of started. And I just am like, everybody here. So when people, like this happened to me yesterday, when people say to me, have we met? Have you? And I can tell they're being genuine. Like they genuinely are like, why do I look familiar? I say, I used to be on SNL. And then immediately they're like, that's it. And then, cause I used to not do that. when people would recognize me. And it's, you sort of look like an asshole if you're like, no, I don't think so. And then they're like, do I know you from this? And you're like, no. And then like, if it does get, if you do get to the point where they realize it's from SNL, then you look like sort of a jerk, or I look like sort of a jerk for not just that. Like cut. But if someone, so if I saw you at, I like us making up the full scenario. If I saw you at Erewhon.
My goodness.
Sorry. Because you wanted to get a really fancy smoothie.
You wanted a $25
smoothie. $25 smoothie.
I'm getting some Wagyu beef at Erewhon.
Yeah, sorry. You're just having... So you're getting your Wagyu beef, your smoothie. You're getting those little macaroons that are like sort of an impulse buy when you're in the line. And I see you. No, it's not me. It's this
Some lady. Yeah.
Some lady comes up to you and says... Do I know you from somewhere? What is your response?
So this happens to me a lot.
Yes.
I'm on guard because I get mistaken for two other celebrities all the time.
You do?
Yes. I get mistaken for Miss J from Project Runway.
Okay.
Which is only wild to me because she is 65 years old and I'm 37.
Yes. This is like when Jonah got mistaken. Jonah, who did you get mistaken for?
Malcolm Gladwell.
Well, let me Google Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm Gladwell. I'm sorry.
Jonah used to have...
He said bigger hair.
Bigger hair.
And no mustache. And no,
but Malcolm Gladwell's got to be...
Someone did a double take in Vanessa's building and they came over. Like, looked at me, looked away, then looked back at me, walked over and was like, excuse me, are you Malcolm Gladwell? Like,
fully. Is he black? Is Malcolm Gladwell black? For those of you who don't know, Jonah does not look black. I'm just going to throw that out in the air right now. Jonah does not look black. So I get mistaken for Miss J from Project Runway. I get mistaken for Titus Burgess from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt all the time.
Wild.
I had this lady in the San Francisco airport, and she's holding my ID hostage as she's like holding it back, and she's like, if you don't know, like, imagine if I hold it out, but then she puts it back to her shoulder and she goes, do I know you from somewhere? And I just said, I don't know. And she goes, I feel like I knew. Were you on TV? I said, yeah, I was on TV. And she goes, oh, you're Miss J. And I said, I'm not Miss J. And she goes, and they always say this, are you sure? Always. And I say, I'm sure. I'm not Miss J. Can I please have my passport back? Please. So, and then another lady at the same airport, the same day coming to me, she goes, do I know you from somewhere? And I go, I don't know. Do you? And then it's just like, are you like famous? And I was like, I mean, kind of. And then she goes, you're Titus Burgess. She actually said, you're Titus Andromedon, is what she said. And I said, oh, no, that's not who I am. And she goes, and those, every time, are you sure? And I said, I'm positive. So then I don't want to go into being, because the reason why I don't want to do it is because they might think I'm someone else. And they're like, actually, I don't know who you are. And then I'm in that really awkward situation.
Right.
My resume, I'm like, I won Drag Race. I don't watch that. I was on Weird Here. I don't watch that. I have a podcast. No, I don't do that either. And I'm like, well, then I don't know where you know me from, lady.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now you feel like you got to prove your relevance to some stranger, you know? It's like too much.
Whenever I'm sitting on the plane and someone like walks past and recognizes me and they go, oh my God, I love you. And I go, oh my God, thank you. And the person next to me doesn't know who I am. And then they're like, oh, who are you? And I go, my name is Caldwell. And they go, but like, why does that guy know you? And I always go, we're friends from high school. We've been doing this bit for years. Every time we see each other in public, we always act like the other one's famous. And he got me this time. And that is what I say every single time.
That's so good.
Is so smart. You know, I will say too, before we go to commercial break, the other thing that happens to me a lot, and I don't know if this happens to you, is people used to come up to me a lot, and still sometimes this happens. They'd go, I don't really watch TV and I don't watch SNL or anything, but my wife is a huge fan.
I always run into the sisters, brothers, and wives and husbands of huge fans of mine. They'll meet you at a party, but then they'll be like, and I didn't watch your show, sorry. Sorry,
yeah, I didn't ask you to watch it.
Sorry, Vanessa. I know you had your show, and I don't.
Sure you have your show. I don't really watch it. I don't watch shows, but like I know my wife. Like I have no idea who you are, but I know I'm so sorry. Like you look like every other person to me, and literally, like I have no reaction to seeing you. But my cousin is like a huge fan, and so if they knew that I saw you, they would care, which I absolutely do not.
I hate when they tell you how much they don't, they aren't, they're, how much? How unfamiliar and they are with you and how unimpressed they are with you.
I haven't seen your show. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like you're going to care if they've seen your show or not.
Also, you don't have to come up to me just to tell me you don't know, have any idea who I am and you've never seen any of my work.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just skip it.
Yeah,
they will make a beeline directly.
A beeline to tell you they've never heard of you.
I don't know who you are. I don't.
Honestly, I don't really care. But I know someone who does, and I don't know why, because I don't see. I'm not familiar. Well, with that, we're gonna take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Bob the Drag Queen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Now, Bob, we'd like to play a game with you that we call Back to the Present.
Joan and Vanessa, we've got to go back to the present.
And this name is obviously a hilarious take on this nostalgic Back to the Future film franchise. In this segment, we each get to say something from our childhood that we wish would come back. And to give you a little time to think, we'll do our answers first. And just remember, there are no wrong answers, okay?
I'm ready.
So, Vanessa, what's your pick?
My pick.
For Back to the Present.
Do you remember from when we were kids, there were these Fisher-Price microphones that were attached to a portable speaker and maybe like a little radio? And you could carry this little cube thing around and you could sing into it. And you had sort of a speaker and you could sort of sing your heart out to whatever you wanted.
Yeah, and the thing would kind of vibrate inside. The thing would kind of like there was like a thing in the thing. Cause was it an actual portable or was it the one that kind of vibrated?
The one that I had a microphone that kind of, it was almost like a cube thing. And it had like a little handle and a microphone and you could sing.
And it actually amplified?
Yeah. And it actually amplified. And I remember I was so into it that I remember I had to get a new one because I kept the batteries in the first one too long and they sort of started to rot. But I used it a lot and I would just go around singing into my portable microphone thing. And I wish I had one now because I do think it would be fun, like when people came over to be like, who wants to sing into the microphone? You know, given that we have phones and stuff, I'm sure there's a way to do this. It's more high tech, yeah. But I really yeah. liked it.
I mean, there's a microphone right in front of you. You actually have a mic right there.
It's true.
I get what you're saying, but it's not amplified. I don't have a speaker.
This is true. That is true. True that. What songs were you singing?
Great question.
A lot of Madonna, a lot of Cyndi Lauper. I think I would do What's Love Got to Do with It, but I would do more lip syncing to that.
Like, were you singing like which Madonna? Like, Get Into the Groove or Material Girl?
I really love True Colors.
True Colors, Cyndi Lauper. Yeah, that's good.
Oh,
I like
which
that.
Madonna? You're right. What, how do I not know the difference between Cyndi Lauper? It's like, Get a Life, Vanessa.
Oh, I thought you were jumping over to Cyndi. I thought you knew that wasn't
yeah.
But what Madonna song? I sang Like a Virgin a lot. I didn't know what it meant. And
Jesus.
Yeah, I sing a lot of, Like a Virgin was the thing I sang the most, and True Colors.
You strike me as a child who looked the way you look now. Like, I feel like if I saw a picture of you as a... Isn't your podcast like a picture of you as a kid?
Yeah.
I feel like if I saw a picture of you as a child out of the blue, I would be like, that is Vanessa Bayer. I feel that in my heart of hearts. 18 things to know about Jewish comedian Vanessa Bayer.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. Uh-oh.
Do you know about this article?
No.
You want to verify a few of these? You were born in Ohio.
That's right.
In 1981 to a reformed Jewish family.
True.
This must be in some kind of Jewish publication.
You have an older brother named Jonah.
That's right. True.
Vanessa and her brother attended Sunday school and Hebrew school every week.
Well,
kind of.
Hebrew school just when we were getting ready for our bar and bat mitzvahs.
Vanessa had her bat mitzvah on Masada.
Masada, yeah, in Israel.
Masada.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh. At 15, Vanessa was diagnosed with acute
lymphoblastic leukemia. That's true. Not really Jewish of me, but.
Vanessa went to the University of Pennsylvania where she first got into comedy with our all-female group.
Bloomers.
There it is.
Yeah, that's an easy one to find out. Vanessa still talks about it constantly.
After college, Vanessa moved to Chicago and studied at Second City. You're very good at these things. And let's go to Vanessa felt like she had a very special job. And I said, no, that's not a fact. That's a fact. The fact 13 is Vanessa felt like she had a very special job at SNL.
I did. That's absolutely a fact.
What the fuck does that mean? You hung out with Haim, the band.
Yes.
And you left SNL in 2017.
That's right.
Oh, those are all.
That Jewish publication has it all right. And I wish I could find one of these things about you. So, Olivia, maybe get on that. Now, Jonah, what would you bring back to the present if you could bring anything from your childhood back to the present?
Yeah. So I was thinking the Carvin guitar mail order catalog. I don't know if either of you probably remember this, but Carvin.
Do you remember?
It's called Keisel Guitars now. They had like electric guitars and basses that they would sell in these catalogs mail order. So they didn't sell these guitars at stores, but you could, they had these kind of flame finishes and amps. And I would look at this catalog for hours and just pick out the guitars I'd want. And I thought that was kind of cool to mail order a guitar.
Yeah.
What do you two think?
And you would be able to like design it, or are they already designed?
No, I think they're like, they had different ones, but you could like add different features to them and stuff and kind of customize them.
What was the dream guitar?
Oh, such a good question.
Great question.
I found a Carvin catalog.
Oh, Vanessa, this is a good... Take your headphones off for 1 second, Jonah. Just take your headphones off for just one... Just Jonah. No, just Jonah. No, Vanessa, put hers back on. Put yours back on. So whatever he says, this is a good birthday gift to get for him when he describes the perfect guitar.
Yeah.
All right. Come on back, Jonah. The perfect guitar.
Perfect guitar. It's tough. I like this DC 127, just like a wooden Strat. You ever see like those guitars that are
gotta
just kind
Google
of
that.
Natural wood.
A wooden Strat? Stratocaster?
Stratocaster shape, body shape. But yeah, I liked all these. I just really liked looking at them. I just like looking at all the, and I still
you
do
don't,
this.
You don't want flames or anything? Because you mentioned the flames.
Well, yeah. More of like a flamed finish, like wood, flamed wood.
Oh.
Like kind of like with like the different textures and layers.
I got
you. I also thought you meant like drawings of
like
flames
fire
on it.
Yeah. We thought you were going to like shred or something. You know what I mean? You're going to be over here just shredding.
You
could always
throw a sticker on there. But yeah, I don't know. It wasn't, I just, you know, and I do this now actually. I go to like guitar sites and just look at pictures of guitars I'm never going to buy.
I remember because we had so many catalogs in our house. I do remember the Carvin catalog because I remember being bummed out if that was the one I picked up. Not to burn your thing, but because I was more interested in like clothes and jewelry and stuff.
Sure,
I would
sure.
pick up a catalog and I'd be like, and if the Carvin was the only one that was around, you know, I'd have to just look at pages and pages of guitar stuff that, you know, as someone who didn't play guitar, I didn't have that sort of...
Yeah, it's not fun to look at a catalog of a product you're not interested in.
That's right.
Yeah, makes sense.
That's right.
Bob, what would you like to bring back to the present? What's on your mind?
It was something that I didn't experience. Okay. I didn't actually experience it myself, but I saw it. And it was one of the weirdest things of the early 2000s. I don't know what happened, why this thing was a thing. It was everywhere. It was undescribable. It made no sense when you looked at it. I want a company to do one now and update it. The PT Cruiser.
Yep. Wow.
Those of you who don't know, the PT Cruiser was, it wasn't a minivan. It's not a station wagon. The PT Cruiser, imagine if you made a minivan.
Okay.
But chopped off the last third of the car. And then now there's wood paneling. There's wood paneling on the side of the PT Cruiser.
Right.
And I felt like in the early 2000s, on the road, there were only three cars on the road in the early 2000s. There was a Ford Focus.
Okay.
There was a PT Cruiser, and there was the remake of the Volkswagen Beetle.
Yep.
Which was huge late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
When the Beetle came back, people went bananas.
Yes.
Buying these Beetles.
Yes. You know the other car I'm thinking about, too, in this category that was really popular for a while was the Mini Cooper. Remember those?
The Mini Cooper. Yeah, there's some Mini Coopers in my building. There are some Mini Cooper extremists who live in my building, and they have two tandem parking spots with two Mini Coopers back to back.
Wow.
Wow.
And I remember being younger and for some reason thinking that Mini Driver has something to do with the Mini Cooper. And I don't know why.
It makes sense. What about the neon cars that in the commercial they said hi?
Yeah.
Like all the ads were just like hi.
What was that one?
I remember those. I don't think those were as desirable.
I think those cars must have not been out for very long. Neon?
I also remember that car commercials were really great. Like there was do you remember Dirty Vegas? Dirty Vegas had this one huge song. I'm going to try to remember it real quick. I'm typing it in. Yeah, their big song is called Days Go By. Days go by and still I think of you. Days when I... Anyway, it was like a big techno thing. And they were in this like car commercial. I think SNL may have did a sketch about it at one point, actually. But you were too young to have... It was way before you would have been
I'm
on SNL.
Older than you.
But you were in... You were like in high school at the time. When this video, because I was in middle school. I was in high school or middle school.
Sorry. And sorry, I kind of said I'm older than you in the same way that I could have said no, and I don't feel bad about it.
I love Bitchy Bayer. Bayer is, this needs to be your new character. Hi, it's me, Bitchy Bayer, and I don't give a fuck about anything. I don't care about your feelings, and I don't care about how you feel, because I'm Bitchy Bayer. But... Yeah, my answer is the PT Cruiser. What an interesting car. And I want to see an update it too. Not just bring it back, but I want to see a company. I don't know who makes the PT Cruiser.
Is it a Chrysler? Yeah, it's a Chrysler. It's a Chrysler.
The Mitsubishi Eclipse was a commercial that used the Dirty Vegas song Days Go By.
Okay.
Looks like the PT Cruiser is in production from 2000 to 2010. So yeah, it's been a while.
And was what you loved about it partially the faux wood?
Well, so not every PT Cruiser had wood paneling on it, but some of them did, which was just such a weird
choice.
Yeah, truly, truly strange. And I think what I really loved about the PT Cruiser was how people who had them were really into personalizing them, like in the way that someone personalized like a Toyota Camry or like one of these tricked out little cars. But it's not a sports car; it's a big clunky, piece of equipment.
Yeah.
And if you Google PT Cruiser, there's people who have them on like monster truck wheels. People have them like, someone has made a PT Cruiser limousine. And by the way, all I did was Google PT Cruise. I didn't go like tricked out crazy PT Cruise.
Yeah, yeah.
This car just inspired people to just do some really interesting stuff. And I want a PT Cruiser. But I don't want a vintage car though. I want a nice new car.
Yeah.
You want a new PT Cruiser. That makes sense. Like I want a new Fisher Price microphone. You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
We want new versions. Jonah, you probably want a new Carvin catalog with
love it.
All the newest
latest technology. Things. Guitar tech. Yeah. Yeah. No, it'd be great.
Are you tech people?
I'm a little bit. I'm not great. Vanessa's definitely not.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, what button do I press to
One of my best friends, her entire home is Google. She has everything in her home is Google. Google everything. She just tells Google to do things. And one time we were on like a Zoom call and one of my friends jokingly said, "Hey, Google, turn off all the lights." And her house went completely dark. She did not find it funny, but we were dying laughing. And she thought it was very unfunny. But he never did it again.
Oh, that sounds...
But what would Bitchy Bear say about that?
Am I at the thing? Is it my house?
I think you're just on the Zoom call and you saw us make her lights go out and we're like,
"Oh yeah, Google, and I'm on a Zoom call."
Yeah.
I'd go, "The lights were already out for me because I'm so freaking bored, you assholes."
I'm obsessed with Bitchy Bear.
She's here for you anytime. Now, where can people find you? If people want to learn more and et cetera.
You can go to bobthedragqueen.com. I will be on tour with the icon of Madonna starting in October in the UK. Okay. And then we're coming to America. But you can also check out I have three specials out on Amazon and iTunes. And my one is called Suspiciously Large Woman. My second special is called Bob the Drag Queen Live at Caroline's, RIP to Caroline's.
Did Caroline's close?
Caroline's closed. Yeah, Caroline's closed. And then my third special, which was filmed at a Comedy on State, is called Woke Man in a Dress. And it is available exclusively on my Patreon right now.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Sounds amazing. So check all those out, everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and to everyone for listening. If you enjoyed that, please subscribe to the podcast and keep an eye out for next week's episode of How Did We Get Weird? Where we'll discuss more stories from our childhood and cultural touchstones, like when people say, "Do you remember me?" Thank you, Bob.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.